When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on? Welcome to episode 69 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh. We got four players on this one. We hooked up the multi-tap. Hate Zero's on player two. What's up, dude?
What is going on? That's all I got. Not doing anything crazy.
No, come on. What? After all this time, you're not our hero. You're not our boy.
I don't know if the people want that. All right. Hey, what's up, NPC fam? It's your boy. Hey, Zero, your hero.
Okay, well,
moving on.
This is going to be super fun. Player three, Captain Logan, what's up, man?
Ahoy, matey, how are you?
Arr, swab the poop decks. And a man of many names, we'll go with Brian. What's up, dude?
Nothing much. How come today we can't get like two-player co-op because it's too much for the system to handle, but the multi-tap like ran everything flawlessly, like no dropped frames. We were only getting like 20 frames as it was back then. Why did that work so well? That's my challenge to you, Nintendo. Okay. Bring that back.
Interesting introduction.
Yeah, you guys are all fired so hard.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
What up, Blue Fam? What? RIP headphone users. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Sorry for all you headphone listeners out there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, hey, before this thing goes any more off the rails, if you guys want to get yourself a free book from Audible, an audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/NPC. There you can get yourself, I don't know, Super Mario, How Mario Conquered America, or Nintendo Conquered America. You could get the ultimate guide to, the video game history, I think. Just Google it. You'll find the name. Also, you got stuff like Ready Player One. Check that out. It's really good. audibletrial.com/NPC. Guys, the chair I'm sitting in is from OP Seat. You can go to opseat.com, check out their comfortable, affordable gaming chairs, and use coupon code N64Josh to save yourself $10. Lastly, I have a Patreon. If you want to get yourself an extra podcast, you can go check that out at patreon.com/N64Josh. And I get to announce it right now. Guys, N64Josh.com is live. There's not much on there right now, but that is where the show notes for this show will be hosted. So you'll be able to find everything there. N64Josh.com. More than likely, the links to the show will be N64Josh.com/NPC69, like Bill and Ted. So welcome everybody that's here with us live on Twitch. We're so glad you're here. We do this 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesdays. We try to start on time. We were a few minutes late, but, you know, hey, it's all good. There's always conversation that breaks out right before I go live, and I sometimes just don't want to stop it. So I just let it happen, and then we go live. And then even after we go live, somebody screams about going to Toshi Station to pick up power converters, you know. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you get that special little treat at the beginning of this one. So with that, hey, what you been playing, dude?
Some Bayonetta 1. I'm not very far. The game is punishing me. Maybe one of you guys can help me out. Should I be equipping items, or is that considered cheating? Like, I don't use any items in the game, and I think it's hurting me considerably.
Like the lollipops?
Yeah, any of that stuff. Like, I'm not using any of it.
Well, that's essential.
I've been chewing candy like it's nothing. Like, I go through it too much.
Okay. Then I'm going to have to start doing that, because I'm just getting wrecked. I'm replaying every major and minor boss over and over again. So, otherwise the game is great. It shows its age a little bit. So, I think, DJ will probably touch on some of his complaints, but, like graphically you can see that. Well, you mentioned in the Discord that like there were quick time events that you just didn't like.
I thought you just assumed I'd slip back into my salty ways.
No. Graphically, they didn't really boost it. It might have got a boost in resolution and that's it. Which the game still looks pretty good, but it's what, 8 years old now?
I'm not entirely sure about the first one, but the second game did not see any boost in resolution, only in frame rate.
Okay. Which is, I mean, hey, that's good too. But yeah, I really think the games would have benefited from a remaster.
Fair enough. You been playing anything else, man?
That is all the Nintendo.
Okay. Awesome. Captain Logan, how about you, man?
Well, I, too, have been playing Bayonetta 1 because I never got into it when it was first released. So I figured I'd start with the first one, and it's a good thing I did because I'm probably going to appreciate the second one a lot more as a result. Kirby Geek has been helping me through this game a lot, surprisingly. Like, when I'm streaming it, like I'm like, Kirby, what is this? And she's like, oh, those are little perks for you. You eat those. And I'm like, okay, but what are those? And she's like, well, those are your weapons. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but what do I do with them? She's like, well, you shoot things. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So I hate quick time events. They're like a one shot kill. That's a horrible, horrible way to have quick time events. But the repetition reminds me a lot of Devil May Cry. And I love those series. So I've been really enjoying that. Played a little bit of Splatoon, not during the Splatfest. I missed that because of a Sea of Thieves scaling test weekend that they did. So I've been diving into that more and more as I fall in love with it. And then started playing Doom again today because of the update, which I'm sure we'll touch on.
Yeah, we definitely will. I'm excited to hear about that, too. So very good. Brian, how about you, man?
It's been nothing but Bayo1. Platoon, and I guess I've been dabbling in the classics. I've been playing, you know, a little bit of Punch Out. I played some Super Punch Out. That was pretty fun. I never played that before. I remember seeing it back in the day and just never getting it. So that was fun. Jumped into some regular Metroid, which is super boring. And just kind of
please be
jumping
honest.
From game to game. I probably just offended half the audience.
That game is pretty boring. I love it, but it is really tedious.
Yeah, it's just I played it back in the day, like once or twice maybe. My cousin had it and just never jumped into it. So I have, like with a lot of games that I think people that like retro games, they have a nostalgia for the game. And if you've just never played it, then it's one of those things where you're like, okay, this just feels super dated and it's just not for me. And then people are like, you're crazy. So, but yeah, mainly Bayonetta 1. I think I'm on chapter 11. And
how many chapters are there? Do you know?
I peeked on Google. I think there's 16, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yep. I'm nowhere close.
Yeah. And, you need to really start using items.
I didn't know if that's like, because the game doesn't tell you anything. It's like, here's the game. No. Just go play it, idiot. So I've known nothing about the game. I'm collecting stuff. I'm like, what is this? What do I do with it? Whatever. I figured if it was an essential piece, the game would tell me how to use it.
Nope.
No.
Nope. I had Kirby tell me about how to do the crafting of lollipops, and I kind of worked out a couple things as far as like finding recipes and stuff, but that game just kind of throws you in and expects you to keep up, and it's like normal or hard mode, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm going normal for now. There's no easy.
You had the choice. This is Bayonetta 1. You picked hard on.
No, I went with normal because I didn't know how long it was going to take to get through, and I'd already kind of been pre-warned about the quick time events, and that already kind of like grinds my gears, so I was just gonna stick with normal just to get through it so I can get to Bayo2.
Maybe I could have swore I tried to do hard mode, and all it gave me was Bayo1. Normal, easy, and very easy.
Yeah, you have to beat it first to get hard mode.
Okay.
Bayo2 has hard mode unlocked immediately.
Okay.
So
but you gotta use the items, and you definitely have to unlock I forget the exact name of them, but it's the skills, like where you can get new moves.
Yeah.
Because I was wasting all my money on like candy And I think I bought a skin for like $30,000, which for some reason,
oh, that's all.
I put it on and it didn't let me change. I look the same. So maybe I'm missing something there.
Yeah, you got to, before the game, well, I'm not sure about Bayo 1, but Bayo 2, you got to go to the menu. Like when you hit, mm-hmm. When you pull, I don't remember, it's been so long since I played Bayo 1. In Bayo 2, each chapter is represented by a card on the table that you flip over. And when you select the card, it says, I think it says go back, start, or menu. And then in menu, it has change outfit, and you can change. And I believe you can just hit the minus button and possibly change your outfit there as well. But I could be wrong on that one. So
I'll have to check that out. But
the only place I found it was in the sub menu before each chapter. Yeah. That's the only place I've been able to find it.
Maybe I got to go there. But yeah, definitely unlock the moves because, like I said, I'm on chapter 11 and I just got two moves, I believe, where I can basically run and slide on my knees like Neo in the Matrix, and it literally like slows down and I spin around 360 and then go into like this move straight out of Floor Kids where I'm like shooting every single gun while spinning on my back. And then I can also do this one where I like jump in the air or go through one of those witch magic circles, and then I like land on the ground like in the Burt Reynolds pose, and it like hurts everything around me. No, yeah, and if you've never played Bayonetta, I think I just described the whole game right there, the type of random ridiculousness that happens within it. But no, having those new moves actually helped me considerably because I was almost at a sticking point where I'm like, this stuff is getting really, really challenging, and I feel like for no reason. But then I unlock some new moves, and it's like, okay, I'm back to being, you know, Trinity again.
So for a total Bayo noob.
First off, don't call it Bayo. No, second, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Fine. So for a total Bayonetta 1 noob, should I be buying moves first or weapons? Like what do I waste my halos on?
I don't know. Like I said, I've wasted a ton on the candy just because I like having like the full amount of candy before I go into each level.
Kirby just answered that question in the chat before you asked it. She says, y'all not buying moves are hurting my soul. So,
well, see, and like I said, I bought those two and suddenly I felt like all of a sudden I was back to where I should be as far as like the difficulty curve would be, I guess, you know, like I felt like the difficulty ramped up, but really is probably because I wasn't buying the moves and I'm using like the same old outdated moves constantly. And that probably hurt me. So there you go. You heard it from, I don't know, whatever Josh calls her, the Oracle or.
Yeah, the Oracle.
Watchtower. I don't know. The Oracle. I'm not up on my,
she's my the Oracle comic book NPC.
References.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me go back to your Metroid statement. Metroid 1 was awesome when it came out. If you played it in complete darkness, with it turned up pretty good. It had just a good atmosphere to it. But it's a little rough to go back to now, unless you're a speedrunner, then it's done. And that's actually pretty fun to watch. But as far as what I've been playing, guys, it's been Bayonetta. I did play a little bit of the Monster Motocross game, which I'll just let everybody know right now that it wouldn't have mattered if I'd left that one wrapped up. It was not very good.
You heard it here first, folks. It's so, not good.
Yeah, it's not. The textures are really bad. I saw somebody playing it on Xbox and I was like, or PS4. And I was like, well, it's, that looks okay. So literally your character model looks like a kid took Play-Doh and just like I made it like look nice. Hey, look at this. And then they're like, let me help. And just smashed the textures together like the worst. So textures are really bad. Gameplay is okay, but like it's actually, you would have to spend the time to get good at this to actually beat the computer. And I don't know why anybody would really have the patience to do that. There's just not a lot of reason to. So I mean, if you really want like it's not good. So stay away from that.
Hey, so did you play the other motocross game on the Switch?
Not yet. I haven't opened it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. The only review I've seen for that is like on Amazon with one star. So I'm saying probably stay away from that one too.
I'm hearing it's better than Monster Motocross, but that's not saying a lot.
No, I mean, it could just have textures that don't look like Nightmare Fuel, and that would help that game. So, Kirby says they should have just went all out and done it Wallace and Gromit style. They kind of did. It literally looks like bad clay. It's, it was like they should have changed the camera angle or something. Like, don't show me this. This is like, it's just bizarre. Load times are kind of atrocious. Like, it's just, you know. I wish you would have been
brought in as a playtester on that, so you could say that to these devs that are like sitting there, pen and paper in hand, and you're like, "Don't show me this." Like, they're like,
"Oh, zoom further out, like all the way out. Keep zooming."
Yeah,
it's funny. This into Grand Theft Auto 1.
You go from one game like Bayonetta, which focuses a lot on the camera angles, and then you go to Monster Motocross, which is like, no, just pull it back. I don't want to see this. This is horrible.
No, like, no joke. It looked like a robot chicken character with like googly eyes stuck to it. So there you go, Logan, just for you. Like, it looked like they borrowed your googly eyes and stuck it to the face. I mean, seriously, horrible. I was like, is this guy melting? What is happening here? Like, what is happening? He got too close to the heater.
He saw the arc, huh?
honestly, he did. He saw the arc. So, unfortunately, guys, no good there. Of course, we played some Mario Kart. We played some Splatoon. We did Splatfest. Let's see. Bayonetta 2, guys, I don't want to jump into our complete Bayo conversation. Yeah, I want to go over some new releases, but I had to play Bayo 2 first because I was one of the lucky ones that got a bad code out of the box. So I knew when I looked at it, it was missing hyphens. I'm like, something's wrong here. And sure enough, I'll get into that more in just a little bit. So I don't think I really played anything else though. Mainly Mario Kart, Splatoon. Anybody else get into Splatfest?
Yeah. Team Money lost because it's rigged, but I actually found out, I didn't know this, because I, for some reason, this last time I did it, because I always pick, I don't even remember her name. What is her name? What's the
Pearl?
A little short, her, Pearl? Okay. In the past, I've always chosen her because the thing that she was representing, I was like, okay, yeah, I want to choose that one. This one, it's like money or love, and it's like, well, whatever. But I had already like chose her in the past, so I just went with it. I didn't have a say really in my preference on this one, but I found out that apparently in North America, everyone always chooses the other girl,
Marina.
Sure. And Pearl is more of a Japanese thing, I guess. So I just didn't realize it was
fair,
rigged.
Fair skin. It's the fair skin.
Because it was rigged, you know? So yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I played a little bit of it. I guess it was pretty close from what I understand.
Yeah, the results were pretty close. They were pretty close. So not on the amount of people that picked love versus money. That was not close. But the games themselves seemed like they were. So
bunch of the repressed liars.
Yeah. Maybe their love for money hopeful. Was so great that they had to still pick love, you know.
They're hopeful. They're hopeless romantics.
Yeah, I guess.
They want love.
I want to love you. I just
I just can't. So let's talk about releases here. We got Old Man's Journey coming out February 20th. Puzzle Poppers, a game just called Pool. So there you go. Like, we're either shooting pool or we're swimming. One of the two. I'm looking at the Switch subreddit right now. I'm pretty sure it's like billiards. Let's see here. Layers of Fear Legacy, February 21st. Pac-Man Championship Edition, February 22nd. Typo Man Revised, who had an AMA on the Switch, if you guys on the Switch subreddit, if you guys want to see any more info about that. Dragon Sinker, Superola and the Lost Burgers, cool. Ace of Seafood, we got some food games apparently. Radiation Island, Space Cats with Lasers, Hollows coming out, which is that I believe that's that survival horror sci-fi game that Brian was super excited for.
I don't remember it anymore.
I don't know if it's the right one. I watched the trailer on the eShop today. Well, if that is the game that we talked about like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It looks way different than the preview build they showed us.
Okay. Wasn't it on the Nindies? I think that's where we saw it the first time.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You guys are talking about the one. It's like first person and it looked way too good to be on the Switch. Like just graphically. Yeah.
It looked like the Steam game that's been out for a while.
Yeah. I lost track of that game. I thought you were talking about the more recent game that looks like it's kind of like a space comedy.
Oh, I don't know.
No,
No, that one, I don't know. Yeah, I think I really do think that was the PC build that they were showing.
Absolutely was.
Yeah, there's no way that was running on the Switch.
Yeah.
No way. Not without a couple patches afterwards, anyway. So let's see. Hollow Membrane is another one. Neo Geo Heroic Episode. Neo Geo Magical Drop 3. And then for the 23rd, we got Tokitori 2 Plus Nintendo Switch Edition. And Chicken Range. So, and if anybody, I saw a random tweet about a twin stick shooter coming out on the Switch. If anybody has any info about this, it looked like you could play like up to five players. And I can't for the life of me find that tweet again. It said it had released. A few people had liked the tweet. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I went on the shop. I'm like, I don't see it. So I don't know if it was a release in Europe, possibly. I'm not sure. So if anybody knows anything about this, it's a looks like up to a five player twin stick shooter, kind of like Geometry Wars. It really had a Geometry Wars vibe going. So it really piqued my interest. So maybe somebody in the chat knows. But anyway, those are your releases up through the 23rd. Again, lots of games. I believe, what is it? Tokitori? I think that's like an old, did I say it right? Tokitori. Yeah. I believe that's a game that was on like the 3DS and, the Wii U, but I could be mistaken. So anyway, let's get into our news here and our talking points. First off, Doom gets an update, gets a hefty update. Adds motion controls, fixes some audio issues, fixes some like a little bit of texture issues, that kind of stuff. Logan, I didn't get a chance to play it. You've got some hands on with it. You mentioned like, give us the lowdown with everything you noticed and what your thoughts are.
So I got about a couple hours in today and, playing it, it doesn't feel like it loads any faster than it did before, maybe a little bit. It felt like the frame rate was definitely better, but the biggest thing that I wanted to test was the motion controls with the gyro aiming, and that is kind of a mixed bag. I think a lot of it's going to come down to me tweaking some of the settings on it, but it does play a lot like Splatoon now. There isn't, as far as I can find, a hard reset for the camera the way Splatoon has. So you have to use the right joystick to kind of re-angle the camera if it gets too out of control. I spent about half of my time playing it on handheld and the other half of the time playing on TV with the Pro Controller. Pro Controller is definitely a much smoother way of going about it, but it's not impossible to do with handheld or separated Joy-Con mode. The trouble is that the UI is still really tiny on the screen. So playing it in handheld still is like really tough to kind of read anything that's going on there, distinguish enemies and stuff. So especially when they're far away, when you're running around, it's very much like Splatoon, but when you actually get aimed down on the sight, it feels a lot more like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild when Link is shooting an arrow. And that's great. It's actually kind of changed how I play the game. So I used to be a lot less accurate, and I would get to the point I would run in, and the closer I got, the more damage I'd be able to get on the demons. And eventually I would just get up there to the point where I could glory kill them. Now I'm actually shooting them a lot farther away and killing them before they get a chance to get too close. And I'm actually finding that I'm almost dying more as a result, because I'm not getting close enough to them to be able to get the glory kill, to get the health and regeneration and the ammo and stuff. So it's going to take a little work to kind of get back into the groove with it. It's still kind of a hard game as is, but I'm glad that they gave people this option. This was something that a lot of people were interested in when it first came out. It wasn't there the way we thought it was, and now that it's an option, I think people are going to be a lot happier, because you're still going to get the twin sticks if you want to use it like a traditional Halo or Destiny, but you can play like Splatoon if you want.
Do you know what the audio issues were that it fixed? Did you experience those?
I never had any audio problems, actually, which is really weird, because I kept replaying some of the same areas and the audio was always fairly good for me. So I'm not sure what problems people were having, but I don't doubt that they were there.
They definitely were. There was weird, like, some weird crackling and stuff that would happen periodically. The other thing that was strange is the audio would be off when you would do your glory kill. Like it would not be, it would come out of sync almost. Or some, like, yeah, there were definitely audio issues there that just weren't quite up to par. I kind of get the feeling that it was worse for some people than others, but, it's really the thing that surprises me the most about this whole thing is how much support this to me seems like a game that they would have just set it and forget it. You know what I mean? Like, is anybody else kind of surprised that we're seeing this?
Yes and no. I mean, what else are they doing right now? What does Bethesda actually do? Or not Bethesda. What is it doing right now?
Wolfenstein 2 is what I expected them to be focusing on. I actually didn't expect any more updates until at least Wolfenstein came out. So if Panic Button went in and actually put a little time in to get this taken care of, and they wanted to get this right before they moved over to Wolfenstein port, which is probably why we just recently heard that they were like actually going to be doing it, because we hadn't heard that Panic Button was actually doing it until, was it mid-January? We got a tweet from Bethesda. They were saying that, like, yeah, for sure, Panic Button's doing the port. And now I'm kind of wondering, like, maybe they had this update, you know, ready by the time the tweet went out, and they got approved to do the Wolfenstein 2. And we've just been sitting waiting for, like, Nintendo to approve this update since then. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of hard to know, but I'm actually really surprised that they actually decided to take some of the customer feedback into account with this. And I'm hoping that they take this and kind of move forward with Wolfenstein 2 and give us gyroscopic aiming with that as well.
Yeah, I think overall the thing that just surprises me is that, like, this is just a port from an older game. You know, they probably don't, other than, you know, we're talking about the game now, it has some improvements, they don't gain a whole lot from it other than just some happy customers, you know. Like, they basically, I mean, because there are some companies that put, I mean, look at this motocross game, right? You think that game's going to see an update of any kind? No,
probably not.
No way.
Microtransactions, no. Maybe.
Yeah, right. So, Mr. Bungle's asking how the multiplayer is. So I haven't played it since update, but I loved it before. It was like a 90s shooter. And I'm thinking, like, so I think Friday, Captain Logan and I are going to be doing a multi-stream of Splatoon, right?
Yeah.
But I think after that, I think I'm going to do some Doom multiplayer. So if anybody's got it and wants to join up on Friday night, let's kind of plan on that, because it's a good time. It's a good time. So, hey, you got it, right?
I don't.
What?
I don't.
You've let me down. I'm very sad right now. Very sad.
I was close, but I just, I don't know. I have it on the Xbox One, and I never took the time to play it there. So I'm just,
I got you.
I don't know if it'll be any different this time around.
Yeah. Well, I think Brian put it best when he's like, that game needs to be experienced at the highest resolution with the fastest frame rate and the loudest speakers possible, you know? So,
well,
it's an experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, like, I don't have it on Switch. I have it on PC. And I'm glad that it's on the Switch. I've never been against something being on the Switch. I think sometimes I have issues with, you know, why something would be on the Switch, or it's need to be from like a different perspective, I guess. In fact, Captain Logan and Hate here and I, and I think one other person, we were talking about Blizzard games on the Switch. And my kind of stance on that was like, I know Hate was kind of saying like, why not bring them to the Switch? You know, like the more the merrier. He was taking that stance.
Yeah.
And Captain Logan over here with his probably, I don't know, he probably read something and got knowledge somewhere. And he's just like, no, they go through cycles. And they're like,
yeah, the soonest it can be on there is 2021.
He's like, science.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have contacts at Blue.
Yeah, you know, and then like, and I kind of came from the perspective of just like, I'm like, well, they're mainly a PC company. And they really, I think I can only guess that over there, unless someone's like, hey, guys, let's do something on the Switch. Why not? You know, maybe let's port over one of our old games. Like they don't need the money. Like, it's not like they're like, hey, guys, the Switch is selling really well. We need to get something going over there. Like, they like Valve are just one of those companies in a unique position where it's like, we don't have to do something because we need it to survive. They're lucky, I'd say, in a respect that they have that freedom. So, hopefully they make something either exclusively for, and by exclusively, I don't mean like just for the Switch, but hopefully like a new project comes around and they decide to do something.
I just need a 2D tracer game like Metroidvania style. We'll be good to go.
Oh, have you played the Bayonetta game on PC that's a 2D side scroller?
No.
Oh, you got to get on that. Your son has Steam, doesn't he? It's a free game.
All right. We'll check it
out. You should check it out.
We'll check it out. So,
you guys aren't satisfied with Angel Attack?
Angel Attack. I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that is. It sounds awesome. Why am I not playing it?
That's the mini game in Bayonetta 1.
Oh, that. Yeah, whatever.
So dismissive. Speaking of Bayonetta 1 and 2. So as I mentioned,
to get back to Doom just real quick. Yeah, I'm glad that they're supporting it. Hopefully it's like a trial run for you know, what's to come. So
I have a theory, and I've said it before, but you mentioned that, Logan, you haven't had any audio issues, and Josh, I don't know if you said if you did, but you know they exist. I think there is a strong possibility that the issues that people are getting is caused by the SD cards they're purchasing. Because like with NBA 2K, the community was divided, like, we're having tons of issues to me, which I had not nearly as many issues that people were reporting. And I mean, you know, not all SD cards are made the same. So Nintendo needs to have some guidelines on, if you want to play a Switch game and you want max performance, these are the specs you have to look for in your SD card or something, if they're even looking at that as being an issue.
Yeah.
Is this thing working? Hello?
Bueller?
Okay, you guys can hear me.
Yeah, sweet. Gotcha.
All right, good. good. Yeah, I just pulled up their Bethesda.net, the actual patch notes here. And let's see, fixes. Yeah, it just says fixed an issue caused by audio issues while playing. Fixed an issue that caused stretch textures to appear in multiplayer. Fixed an issue where controls become unresponsive in game menu. Fixed an issue where players may have incorrectly received a ban notice in multiplayer. So, and the other thing they did add, guys, is parties. So it's now going to be easier to, party up and group up with friends. Cause apparently that wasn't, I think the few times I played it, I don't really recall playing with anybody. I just kind of ran solo. So that's nice that that's going to be there. Jumping in Bayonetta 1 and 2, I had the code issue, like we mentioned earlier. I couldn't play Bayonetta 1 to start the stream that I was doing on Friday. So just ended up playing Bayonetta 2 after being on the phone. Like, Nintendo was getting flooded, you know, Reddit immediately. Everybody was like, hey, what's happening? Why aren't these codes working? Talks to somebody at Nintendo after calling three times, because the second time I got disconnected mid conversation and had to call back again. So
convenient.
That was click. Yeah. I was like, come on. So, but they had it. They had a new code to me within, I think within six hours or so. Like, it really, they were really on top of it. Apparently, I don't know what the exact code that went out was. Like, it was some kind of like packing number or reference code or something, was not the actual code. And so, and apparently, I don't know, hate read on, was it on Reddit that you saw that most people thought they were from Amazon, but I ended up getting mine from Best Buy. So, so that was a little bit of a hiccup, but I just jumped into Bayo 2. I went on hard mode. I'm like, I've probably got 13 to 15 hours out of it so far and really enjoying every minute of it. There's frustrating moments playing on hard. Like, I spent 3 hours on two bosses one night, you know, like, I think Saturday night, I didn't even stream. I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna, I saw a bunch of people in our community streaming like Splatoon and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm just gonna play games without, you know, streaming or anything. And I had a good time. I had a good time just kind of zoning out. And but man, yeah, two bosses, 3 hours, like literally my hands were hurting. Like they were I was wearing my hands out trying to beat some of these bosses, but it's so satisfying when you finally do. Have you guys had a similar experience where it's like wicked frustrating, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, that's so good. I want to go to the next one. So, I don't know. Hey, what are you thinking, bud?
I was hoping you would ask me first. No, I haven't had that experience, because whenever I beat a boss that I've been stuck on, it's generally not rewarding, because I'm like, oh, all I had to do was not be an idiot. Like, the game's showing me my flaws as a person. I'm like looking into the mirror and seeing how flawed of a human being I am. So, thank you, Bayonetta. Thank you.
I don't know. I was actually, I was kind of experiencing that. Like, I got past the first boss, not too long ago, and it's satisfying, but it's really depressing when I know that the only reason I'm not beating it is because I can't hit the dodge button at the precise moment. Mm-hmm. And that's, and especially when I'm playing like against a big group of enemies, at least with Bayonetta 1, the lock on doesn't lock on like I'm used to lock on features, so I can't really focus down.
Pause. There's okay. A lock on.
Yeah, there's a lock on with the what is it, the L or R1 trigger. You can switch
flawed between. Human being, flawed human being.
So I definitely liked the boss battle. I thought it was really like it ramps up and stuff. And I'm not sure if Bayonetta 2 has a lot of the whole like mash Y to increase your megatons before the explosion goes off, but that was kind of like, at one point in the fight, I was just like, all right, I'm just mashing Y. I just know I just got to mash Y until the scene's done. But it was really good, but it's frustrating when you know all you have to do is hit dodge at the right moment.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest issue with this game. I think that's one of the places it shows its age. I went from the last game I played that's this style of game was another platinum game. It was Nier Automata, or Automata, however you want to say it. Potato, tomato.
Potato.
But that game is, think about it, they made, you know, Bayonetta, then you had Bayonetta 2. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was sprinkled in there somewhere.
Transformers.
I don't know if that's worth mentioning. And then they made the Nier game, and that game is almost like you can see the progression of, okay, they went from, when you go from Bayonetta 1 to Nier, they have a dodge system in that game and it's just, it feels a lot better. It's probably like Kirby Geek mentioned, the Bayonetta 1, it's not as forgiving as maybe you'd like, whereas in Nier it is. So it's almost like, I think I mentioned it saying like, well, when you go backwards, kind of like when in the way games are made and you start really seeing flaws, and like suddenly it's like, oh, this game isn't as awesome as I remember it to be. So that was one of my big gripes, is that.
Did you ever play 2?
Yeah, I didn't get super far into it. I had it for the Wii U. So I played at least one or two levels.
I wonder if the controls are closer to Nier being newer.
Yeah, I'll have to jump in. Because, yeah, that bothered me. The thing that bothered me probably the most out of Bayonetta was the fact that I want to say at least 3 times. And like I said, I'm on chapter like 11. At least 3 times, the moment you get out of a cutscene, if you're not mashing that dodge button, you're going to get... So it's like, it's almost like, come on, guys, you couldn't give me that one, like half a second would have solved it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But maybe part of it was on purpose to be like, oh crap, I'm going to jump out of this cutscene. Yeah. You know,
Kirby's saying it's better in the second. So, and I noticed that, like, for me playing the second one, you're dodging just, you know, perfectly, or you're dodging. Well, I shouldn't say perfectly. You're dodging and just continuing the fight, which doesn't seem to do like that much good. Like, you typically have to get into that witch mode, right, to really be able to start knocking out the combos, and it even affects certain bosses and everything. I found myself at some points, instead of like moving all over the place and trying to dodge, just standing still and then just hitting the dodge to get out of the way. Yep. Or dodging left and then dodging right. And that was actually helping quite a bit, you know. And then there were other times that, like, I know Brian was watching me. He's like, why are you using your gun? And I'm like, I've just got this. I've got my, like, my pattern down that I'm doing, you know, that worked for other bosses. But I was getting this boss down to like a quarter health and I couldn't get past that. And he's like, why don't you do melee attacks? And so I'm like, well, I'll give it a shot. And it turned out I was able to get that pattern down as well. That's probably the most frustrating thing, is just when you're like, I swear I hit that dodge at the right time. You know, I swear. Cause it does still happen in 2. It may not, I haven't played 1 enough to know how frequent, but it does still happen. So, other than that, I have very few negative things to say about the game. I've been playing it mostly docked. It runs smooth. I love this style of game. This Devil May Cry. If it's not a kid game, if anybody's wondering, it's definitely not for children. I mean, I'll leave that to the parents' discretion, but, you know, it's fairly crude and everything, but if you look past that stuff, it is great gameplay and just crazy goofy story. I'm not even sure what's going on or why I don't really have an idea what's happening, but I'm loving every minute of it. So,
do you even know the plot of the game?
I can answer this because Kirby told me.
Here we go.
Well, no, I played back when I played Bayonetta 1 on the Xbox 360. I couldn't tell you what the storyline was. I guess I wasn't paying attention. But I now know that, oh, she doesn't really know. The plot is basically she doesn't really remember who she is, kind of. The second one, I don't know, because, again, the first time I played it, I was probably similar to Josh, where I'm like, oh, I don't even know what's going on right now. And I just started mashing buttons.
You're trying to save your friend from hell, I believe.
Okay.
I believe.
Oh, so typical Friday night. All right.
Yeah.
So I don't, it sounds like I don't like the game, and that's not my intent. I'm enjoying it, even though it's frustrating as all get out.
Can we just stop a second? What game at this point in your life doesn't frustrate you?
Floor Kids.
Yeah. Floor Kids is not frustrating at all. Very soothing. In fact, after Bayonetta, when I'm really mad, maybe I should turn on Floor Kids. So The game has really good music, but like the music doesn't fit with the tone, which is really weird, but actually kind of fitting.
Have you ever watched an anime?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And so, no, that's been cool. I've enjoyed that. The storyline's been interesting, hard to follow, but fun. I think overall, my experience has been positive so far. So if you're on the fence and you want to buy it and it looks like the type of game you'll like, you'll probably like it. To me, it's like Devil May Cry, like married God of War.
Yeah.
It's a good way, I love it. I think it's a great game. It's over the top. It's campy. It's racy. It's all the things I loved about the Devil May Cry series just amped up, and the characters crack me up, and I don't remember their names, but the gameplay is fun once you kind of get a grasp on what combos work for you and mastering the dodge mechanic. But I love that the ports are a lot locked in at 60 frames per second. I'm glad I didn't ever have to worry about stuttering in that kind of game, because that's not the type of game you want that in.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I'll second that with I love the fact that the characters are all unique, like Captain Logan. I mean, obviously I remember Bayonetta, her name anyways, but like the other characters, like I don't remember their names. There's the guy that works at the bar. He's funny. I think he says a line from Resident Evil, or he says something like, check out what I've got for sale. And he's like, I heard that in a video game once. It's like straight from Resident Evil 4, the dude with the trench coat.
What are you buying?
Yeah, like, what are you buying?
What are you selling?
Like, so there's that guy. He's great. And every time you go to him, if you find they have like these golden LP records, like little 45s, and when you turn those in, he always has something to say about those. And if you don't have them and you still go to the bar, that's when he says one of those random campy pop culture references. You also got the guy who's straight up stereotypical.
Joe Pesci.
Yeah. You got Joe Pesci in there, which he was in the beginning of Bayonetta 1 a lot, and then as I've played through it, I can't remember if it's just less and less or not at all. So
he's busy being a lawyer for the Utes.
Yeah, I'm sure he comes back at the end to throw Italian stereotypes throughout. I don't know, but that's just the thing. That's the type of game it is. Like, if they were to throw stereotypes out there, I would take it with a grain of salt, because it's just the game just totally makes fun of itself, of other things. It's pretty fun. And if you want just something that's fun and there's moments where you're going to laugh out loud. And if you know that going into it, and you're not like, this girl is not covered, I can't believe they made this game and there's violence and people are laughing and I think she just killed an angel. Then you're going to have a good time with this game.
And it doesn't have to be as punishing as it is to me. I can do easy or very easy. I just refuse to do it. So
I'm not straight to hard, but I have to at least play normal.
Yeah, I'm at least a normal kind of guy myself.
The only reason I picked hard is one, I've always enjoyed this style of game, whether it be the Arkham games or God of War, Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, all of those. I really enjoy it. So I knew going into it that I would get the most out of it. And I'm getting I'm averaging close to about an hour per chapter at this point, you know? So, yeah. I mean, and that's pretty good. And sometimes a single chapter is just one boss. You jump in, fight one boss, and then you're back out again. And so, but like I said, it's really hard, but it's also rewarding when you finally, and I didn't realize that halfway, like if you hit the minus button and bring up your menu, you can actually take your stuff that you've picked up along the way and make lollipops right there. I'm like, oh, well, that would have been handy to know. Like,
yeah, you found that out like what? Three-fourths of the way through your playthrough?
Yeah, way later into the game. So it was like, I had to do my runs with like sometimes no extra health. I'm like, well, I got a lollipop that does shields. Let's pop this and see what happens, you know, like, and just try to work them out perfectly. And so
you're mad you couldn't find out about crafting. I didn't even know what the lollipops did so far. I haven't used anything yet.
Your fake D-pad or your D-pad is how you activate those things.
See, this is why you guys have to bribe Kirby Geek to join into your stream so that she can be your Wikipedia while you're streaming. And then you sound amazingly smart.
Is she the new Siri? Hey, Kirby.
With the purple lollipop.
That's what it was. That's exactly what my stream was. Like, hey, Kirby, what's going on with this storyline? She's like, okay.
Kirby, whatever you're charging, it's not enough.
Exactly.
Definitely not.
Okay, so we got to move past this here. Just real quick, we're just going to talk just briefly. Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2 is coming out May 22nd. We are getting the Mega Man Collection 1 is on cart and 2 is a DLC code, I believe. Some people are a little frustrated about that. If you want to let us know, let me know how you feel on n64josh.com. I do have an article up. You can leave a comment there, see what you think. Are you guys picking this up? Is anybody picking this up? Most of us probably already have it.
I'm not.
Nope. I'm seeing heads shaking in different directions.
I might do it. We'll see.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's another thing with the whole case just looks really bad because of the online required, you know, like, come on, stop that. But
Bayonetta didn't have it though. I don't think it's a requirement. I think it's like the default.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I feel like Nintendo's like, well, we've got this default image here if you want to use it, or you can spend the extra 2 hours and, you know, Photoshop us an icon if you want. And everyone's just like, I'll go with the standard white digital, you know, it's like, wow, okay, you care about your product. I'm not even going to go into a Capcom rant. So,
okay,
maybe it'll have a reversible cover that's like super sweet.
I doubt it.
Open.
that's ruined by the code, like Bayonetta.
I want a reversible cover that's just white and in black block lettering just says Mega Man.
I think you could make that. If they don't put anything on the other side, you can do that.
Like the rental store?
If all else fails, you can go to GameStop and they'll make one for you.
Yeah.
They have their own custom covers.
That's true. We're getting a Mario Encyclopedia coming out in October. Covers 30 years of Mario from 1985 to 2015. Nothing before that. Or nothing after that, I mean. So literally anything that happened after 2015, this book's not going to cover it. So nothing to do with Odyssey or anything like that. It's kind of unfortunate, especially since it's coming out this year. You know,
what would they do for volume 2 if they added that?
That's true. There you go. So okay. That's that. So I got a question, something I wanted to bring up. It was from he hit me up on my Facebook. He shot me a message there. But Scott, the geek who joined our Discord this morning, basically kind of talking about, I don't know if anybody listened to NVC or saw Brian Altano's tweet recently about what happened with his Switch. Basically, his USB-C stopped working. And he's like, well, I'm coming up on that 1 year. I better send it in. Sends in his Switch. After he talked to him on the phone, they're like, yeah, everything should be good. We should be able to keep your games, saves, everything like that. Gets an email saying, sorry, we weren't able to save your stuff. Here's a new Switch. I think he shipped it on a Monday and had it back on a Friday, which was good. But this is 2018. And that seems really unfortunate. One, he kind of recommended not using third-party docks. He doesn't know if that's the exact reason, but he did just kind of say, you know, a little warning on NVC that may have played a part. But, you know, some of the stuff he talked about, like everything he did in Zelda, gone. Everything in Odyssey, gone, right? And I know based on his tweet, there was a lot of other people that are like, yep, same thing happened to me. Same thing happened to me. Like that's a very frustrating thing. Yeah. I mean, glass half full, you get to experience all that stuff again, but like, yeah, right. You guys all understand. So, I mean, you can transfer content from Switch to Switch, right? So, but when it's your USB-C that's shot,
well, the problem with the transfer is you can't buy a second Switch. Let's say you have infinite money. You can only transfer it once and it's gone from the source Switch. You can't have it on two.
Right.
So yeah. that even if you wanted to do the most expensive backup solution in the world, it wouldn't work.
Can you, like, by default, or can you actually go into the settings and tell the Switch to save your games to the memory card, or does it save it to the system only?
I don't
system
believe,
only.
Yeah, I think it's system only. I think you can move DLC and stuff to the memory card, but I don't think you can do game saves. And so,
that's a shame. And I mean, that should not have happened to Brian Boitano. That guy's a national treasure, and he should not be treated that way.
It's
why is everyone laughing? I don't get it.
He's an Olympian, for crying out loud. This is how we treat our Olympians.
Yeah, what? Come on, especially during the Winter Olympics. Jeez,
he gold medaled in Odyssey.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. So, a couple things. One, it may be that when this online rolls out, that there may be some cloud saves involved with it, right? Like PlayStation Plus, you have cloud saves. Xbox, you have cloud saves, right? Like, I can play a game in my office, go downstairs, turn on that Xbox, and immediately start playing that game right where I left off. Quite handy.
Yeah.
The Switch, that's not an option. And it, how big of a deal is this to you guys? Because based on the email from Scott, it was a long email, right? Like, this was something that he's like, what's going on here? You know? And so some people are really upset by this. Some people are like, yeah, it is what it is. But I mean, I thought about it immediately when I bought my Switch and I bought the protection plan. I'm like, if this thing kicks the bucket, I'm going to have to just swap it out for one that doesn't have any of my stuff on it. And that kind of sucks, you know. At least you have all of your saves and everything. But I'm on the side that says, hey, let's figure this out and see if there's a better solution. Ultimately, it boils down to people pirating stuff. That's why we don't have it. There's very simple solutions, but then everybody would share their game library with everybody and Nintendo would lose money. So it's like, in order to save money, they can't save face. And it's just kind of an unfortunate time that this takes place, you know? So I don't know, Logan, where are you at with this?
I listened to a couple other podcasts and Stephen Munn has been trying to start this grassroots movement on Twitter with the hashtag Save Our Saves. And it sucks. It really sucks. I mean, who wants to lose all their progress on games that they've dedicated a lot of time? Many of us since launch on a system that we're supposed to trust can go from home to outside to other people's houses to other people's docks. It's like we have one port on this thing, no way to transfer saves, and we're hoping that this brand new USB-C, you know, hardware is gonna work on all the docks that the people have, and that, you know, at the moment, you know, we're playing online games for free because they're still working on the online service. Well, you know, we were supposed to have online this year. We should get saves at least now, and then I'll pay for the service when it comes back. And if I want to keep my saves, then yeah, I'm willing to fork out the money for that. But until then, I feel like I need some sort of recourse if my system breaks.
Yeah, it's a bum deal. Brian, what do you think?
I'm kind of on the fence of partially this. Obviously, it hasn't affected me. I would probably feel differently if I was one of the people that lost all their stuff. But I don't know. I guess for me, if let's say today I turned my Switch on and everything was gone, I'd probably be really bummed. But I guess I wouldn't really care. I'd be like you kind of said, like, oh, I guess I get to go back and play this again. I'm not of the type that would do that. I'd probably be like, well, okay, I'm whatever.
Moving on.
I've done it. Moving on. Yeah. I guess one could argue, like, in this day and age, why not have it? Why not? But I don't know if Nintendo just hasn't jumped into that internet arena, you know, with both feet yet. So it's almost like, for example, the app with Splatoon, you know, we don't have a full on online service to support that game. But I think to have a full online service for that game, you need tech support. You need people that know how to, you know, run that code. And when that thing goes down in the middle of the night, who's there to, you know, fix it? Whereas I don't know for sure, but I can only imagine managing a phone app is infinitely easier than a full on online network. So maybe they're looking at it that way, like, hey, let's do this phone app thing. And if it works, great. We can build upon that. But I think maybe they're just not ready to jump into that arena for whatever reason. So for me, if I lost everything today, I'd probably be like, all right, whatever. Change username, move on.
That a boy. Just keep on keeping on. Hey, what about you, man?
So many thoughts. First, like Captain Logan said, USB-C is extremely new as far as IT goes. It's like 3 years old at this point, but it's new to us, right? Because USB A and B types have been around for 6,000 years. So, yeah, I mean, some of the stuff you buy third party, who knows? It's a gamble. Even first party, you might get a bad cable from Nintendo. I mean, it's still pretty much an infant in the grand scheme of things. PlayStation did not offer it on PS3 until they came out with their PS Plus for the cloud saves. And I truly believe the reason is storage is kind of cheap nowadays. I mean, a terabyte is not an extremely expensive thing, but Nintendo is going to have to set up a lot of servers, and they're going to have them in a RAID arrange so they don't lose data, and they're going to have redundancy, and they're going to have offsite storage. Once they make the promise to you that, hey, we got your back, guys, your stuff's in the cloud, it has to be in the cloud. Right now, they can hide behind the, we never promised you anything. That's your problem.
Yeah.
So I truly believe it's coming. I think it needs to come, but they need to do it right. Because if they do it wrong, it's going to be worse, in my opinion, than not offering it at all. That's all.
Yeah. And I mean, Kirby made a good point right when we started talking about this. She's like, if there's not cloud saves before Animal Crossing comes out, I will be rioting in front of Nintendo.
I'll join you, Kirby. I can use a trip to New York. Are you paying for it? Or?
Well, no, we can go right here to Redmond. It's just up the road from you, bud. You're good.
Oh, we're not going to the Nintendo New York store.
No, let's go to headquarters.
Zero is going to be the next Crash Bandicoot with the bullhorn outside the building.
I got a bullhorn. Let's do it. Do it live.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems like there could even be, the problem is, it's like everything that seems like a solution would just allow for piracy. You know, that's because I remember back on the 2DS, I think, or not the 2DS, but like the DS, I think I remember taking, maybe it was my first 3DS. I can't remember, but like, I remember just taking the SD card out and putting it in the other one and it was good to go. And then when I switched to the 3DS, that wasn't the case anymore. I had to do a complete transfer from my I can't remember at this point. It's been too long, but I remember at one point it was pretty easy just to, like, I think I backed up my saves on my computer and then moved them back into the memory card, and everything was good to go. And that's not the case now. So it is unfortunate. Hopefully it's something we see sooner than later. Hopefully there's some solution out there. I mean, hopefully just the switches don't break, right? But that's just not the case. You can't, especially a portable system. It's not like a PS4 or an Xbox that doesn't really leave its location. You know, this thing, I was reading stories of somebody, like comments on Reddit, where the guy stood up, his headphones were wrapped around, his headphone cord was stuck to his ankle. So when he stood up, it just launched his Switch across this room onto hardwood floors. Joy-Cons flew off the thing and he picked it up, put them back on, and everything worked great. You know, but not everybody's going to be that lucky every time. There's just no way.
I have to wonder about, because I see a couple of people in chat talking about like the piracy issue. Josh, you mentioned it. I don't know, of the four of us here, how many of us, just because it had the ability to be pirated or altered in some way, would actually do it? I might exclude Captain Logan from this conversation, but I feel like he's already homebrewed the thing, you know, like twice over. So,
is that because of the purple Joy-Cons?
Just because you can do something illegal with it doesn't mean I'm going to. So,
I definitely would.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and yeah.
Yeah, but you would probably buy a second Switch to do that on, right?
Right, right.
So,
I love
they're losing, green. They're gaining. Right. Oh, me too. I mean, I'm like 2 seconds away from ripping this thing apart. And, you know, I think I was half joking with you when I'm like, dude, I want a custom car paint job with carbon fiber back on this thing.
I can make it happen.
I mean, I'm like, that's, I would do that. But, and, you know, someone might be like, that voids the warranty. It's like, you know, what doesn't void the warranty with this thing? I mean, I don't know.
You've like, got like another 12 warranties
are made to be broken. That's what the saying is, right?
They've already hacked the firmware for the 4.0. So, I mean, at that point, you can play Steam games on your Switch. The piracy is going to happen no matter what we do. It's the good nature that Nintendo cares about their consumers that we're lacking in the picture right now. And Nintendo is one of those kind of companies, just like with Apple, where they're like, all right, no questions asked. You say it just stopped working and there's a giant crack and you're not sure how that happened. Okay, send it back, you know, shipping and handling and stuff. This is like, they just need to do something to give people a reason to trust that once that 1 year warranty's up, that we're going to have all of our history over that 1 year, that 2017 special nature and all the things we did, you know, like somewhere at least.
I think, and I'm completely making this up, but in my mind it's true.
It's a fan cast.
Total fan cast. Or fan fiction, as I called it the other day. But when Microsoft went full-blown with Xbox Live, I think that actually helped them with privacy or piracy, because now if you've broken your Xbox, you can't go online. So going all in for Nintendo and making these games immersed in the online infrastructure, if you want a pirated game, you're only going to play it offline. You're not playing it on Nintendo Online or whatever they're going to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the other thing to think about, and we got to wrap this up. I'm actually going to be on another podcast in about 15 minutes. So, what do you do when you are portable, right? You're not hooked up to the Wi-Fi. You're not backing up to the cloud. Like this could be something that maybe could only happen once you're docked. Maybe only happened once you connect to Wi-Fi again. I mean, there's going to be more to it than just like, as the consumer, we go, hey, cloud saves work, just make it happen. Right. But like on the other side of actually making that work, I couldn't tell you what the details of that are, and how it all goes down, you know?
Well, the solution is, I think maybe the thing they want to stay away from is the whole Xbox One issue where it's like, hey, guys, we're going to make this thing sync up every 24 hours and we're going to draconian the you know what out of this. And then suddenly Nintendo's probably like, yeah, look what happened there. And we're not even going to go down that road. Nintendo, I think if you look at it, it's they've always done things kind of their own way. And I kind of feel like they're going to continue to do so. Even this online thing, and probably in the future, who knows, we might not get something till years down the road, or we might not even get nothing until the Switch 2 or Switch 360, whatever they decide to call it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll find out something soon. So, hey, where can everybody find you?
If you want to find your boy, Hey Zero, your hero, you can find me on Twitter at Hey Zero. You'll find me on the Discord, and you'll find me here Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Kirby said maybe they're just rounding up enough Pikmin to transfer our data.
It's funny because it's true.
It is. Logan, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me streaming throughout the week at twitch.tv/CAPT_Logan. That's my Twitter. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can hit me up there. I'm also Captain Logan, all spelled out with a U at the end, on Xbox. I'll be playing a lot more Xbox, Sea of Thieves eventually. So feel free to hit me up.
And Brian, you?
Currently I'm DJ Hoedown. You can find me anywhere. Yeah, that's where you can find me. If you can figure out where the name DJ Hoedown stemmed from, I'll hand paint something and mail it to you. It'll be rated PG.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Guys, you're going to find me on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. Vero, I think, is a new one I just found and signed up for. So, yeah, it's all N64 Josh. Just look up N64 Josh. You'll find it. Patreon. It's all there. If you want to get yourself a free audiobook, audibletrial.com/NPC. Help support the show. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy a book. And, you know, it's $15 a month. Stick with it. So not a bad deal. OPC.com. It's where you can get yourself a gaming chair that I'm sitting in right now. And save yourself $10 with coupon code N64Josh. And if you guys are enjoying the show, if you wouldn't mind hitting us with a review, we would greatly appreciate that. We are like 4 reviews away from 100 reviews on iTunes. So if you enjoy the show, please let us know there. That would be great. If you're here with us live, thank you so much. We love you. You're here week after week. It's the best. If you want to connect with all of us and join the conversation, make sure to get in the Discord. There will be a link in the show notes. That'll be at n64josh.com/npc69. Thank you for listening. Boys, thanks for hanging out tonight, and we will see you guys later.